It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore now what is trending on restaurant menus, from cherry blossom flavoring to cheese. A restaurant and consulting firm, they track about 40,000 menu items at major chains, and they have insights on our evolving tastes. So call in with your questions, your thoughts, anytime on Food Trends, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mike Costio is a food trendologist and associate director at the market research firm Datacential. Mike, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, Kate.
Well, it's fitting that we begin with cheese. So I'm going to tee things up here. Wisconsin making more than a quarter of our country's cheese, more than any other state. And here comes your report saying, you know, cheese is the top ingredient being added to restaurant menus. So how are restaurants using our beloved cheese in new ways?
Sure, absolutely. And it has been the top growing ingredient on major chain menus for quite a while now. We actually call cheese a crave-worthy ingredient. One of the things that we do with our clients when we're testing a new menu item is we'll add ingredients that we consider to be crave-worthy because they really increase crave scores. And cheese is one of the top ones. So crunchy is a really good one, but cheese is way up there. And some of the things that we're seeing on menus when it comes to cheese are actually really related to the Wisconsin food scene. So beer cheese is way up on menus. It's actually up 35% on menus. Cheese curds up, you know, I know they're found all over the menu in Wisconsin, but now they're way up nationally, up 31% on menus. So we definitely see some of those Wisconsin, you know, cheese products and flavors. The other thing we definitely see is a lot of kind of Latin and Hispanic inspired cheeses. So the cotijas and the queso blancos and things like that growing.
Oh, that's so interesting. I mean, crave worthy. I'm kind of trying out new taglines here. Wisconsin, crave worthy. I don't know if that really hits home. But I wonder if cheese, you know, I hate to use the word fill ingredient, but I also wonder if it's like it's a reliable ingredient in that it gives you the fats and just, you know, it gives you that that home taste. If what else is going on with cheese that it makes it such a staple ingredient?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is. You know, I think it's such a classic ingredient, something that we all grew up with. It's so comforting. And certainly during the pandemic, we, you know, really reached for those comforting foods. I think it performs so well across such a wide variety of applications. So you can use it in a sauce, you know, you can use it in a sandwich, you use it on pizza. So you use it in so many of those, you know, ingredients and dishes that you see so often on menus. And the other thing is a lot of cheeses really are shelf stable. And, you know, chefs right now are not trying to put, you know, a really perishable ingredients back of house just because prices are so high. They don't want things to go bad. So at least cheese is that dairy product that you can, you know, kind of feel a little bit safer purchasing, and it's not going to go bad quite as quickly as like a milk or another dairy product.
And you also have to look for those ingredients that are supply chain stable, that there's a steady flow of cheese, that it's a reliable product and you won't have disruptions where you say, uh-oh, you know, now how do we replace this?
Absolutely, definitely. Yeah, I mean, there were, you know, during the pandemic, we saw chicken was the number one option that so many operators couldn't get a hold of. So they were replacing chicken left and right, which is kind of crazy. Chicken is, you know, used on so many menus.
Right.
But cheese, we didn't see the same thing. Cheese has really held steady on menus.
And you say Mexican-style cuisine is more popular among younger generations, whereas Italian was previously the top choice for decades. Why are food preferences changing?
Yeah, it's an interesting study that we did last year where Italian cuisine has been America's favorite cuisine for decades now. And it still is if you look at the average overall consumers. But we looked last year at different generations and started to break down generation by generation what they liked. And we started to see that millennials were actually the first generation, and that's the generation I'm a part of, that preferred Mexican cuisine over Italian cuisine, and then Chinese cuisine was in third place. And then when you look at Gen Z, it's actually Mexican cuisine is on top, Chinese just under that, and then Italian to third place. So you can really see, you know, how things are changing in the country.
Let's step back just for a moment for you to explain how you do this work. How do you collect these menu items and run them through, you know, your processes to understand what is happening with menus?
Yeah, so we have a team that actually does it. They're constantly looking online for as many, menus as they can find. They're calling operators across the country to get those menus. We're checking for accuracy, and it's all pegged to the census. So we want to make sure that our menu database looks like the American, restaurant landscape. So it's just kind of a constant team that's always out there pulling all of this. And then we have, data analysts at the company, who are constantly breaking down the data, trying to figure out what's going on, trying to figure out what the trend story is in the American, food landscape.
Has inflation been a big disruptor to what you're seeing on menus and the costs, prices?
Huge disruptor, absolutely. So at the beginning of the year, we asked operators, restaurant operators, what's your number one concern as you head into 2023? And 90% of operators said high costs and inflation were their top concern. And you so rarely see, such agreement between operators in the industry. And I think, when you look at, the number of operators who said COVID was their number one concern, it's dropped down to 10%. So you can see just how things have changed so much for the operator and, what their big pain points are right now.
Oh, that's interesting. Mike Costio with the market research firm tracking the popularity of menu items and ingredients. What diners are in the mood to eat? Call in with questions and comments, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We learn what new ingredients and flavors are making their way into restaurant menus and how cheese is rising up as the most common new ingredient, but has been there all along. It's kind of like that blue chip stock, if you will, of dependable ingredients, great reputation. Call in with questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Mike Costio, trendologist at the market research firm Data Essential, analyzing menus. Mike, here's an interesting thing that you checked into. Wisconsin has more bars than nearly any other state. That we can understand. Florida has the most Cuban-style restaurants, barbecue most common in southern states, yes. What regional preferences in dining are the most surprising?
Ooh, good question. I think just how they're, constantly changing and, the regional preferences, both within the regions themselves and how those kind of manifest nationally. So a really good example, I think, is, in the Northeast, some of those seafood flavors that you had only seen, for a long time in the Northeast, all of a sudden starting to appear on, menus across the country. The great example of that being, some of those spicy flavors. I don't want to use like a brand name, but you see some of those kind of spicier profiles used in seafood dishes now, manifesting more nationally. The big one certainly was Nashville Hot. So, Nashville Hot for the longest time was, mainly seen on Nashville menus. And then, we started to see it grow on chicken sandwiches and, start to show up in chain menus. And now Nashville Hots is, kind of, if you're going to put a spicy flavor on the menu, that's probably one that, you're going to look at, if not, actually utilize on the menu. So it's always so interesting to see those regional flavors that make it national.
It seems also chicken sandwiches are having a moment going in so many different directions.
Oh my gosh, the chicken sandwich trend, we constantly think, is there any more, room to innovate within chicken sandwiches? Is there anything that, operators can do to keep it exciting? And yet it hasn't plateaued yet. We still see, a number of chains introducing really interesting chicken sandwiches to the menu.
Let's take a call. Patty in Eau Claire. Patty, hi. What would you like to bring up?
I'm just curious if they are seeing any trends in people purchasing or buying meals made of Wagyu. It's a Wagyu beef. It's a high-quality beef with healthy omega fats. It's a little bit expensive, but my husband and I, we actually raise Wagyu beef, and just kind of curious if you're seeing any trends that way.
Patty, thank you so much. Mike, Wagyu beef.
Yeah, great question. Absolutely. Wagyu beef is way up, both on menus and on the consumer side. We've seen a lot of move to premiumization and, you know, consumers really understanding that, you know, premium proteins are maybe a little bit better for you, you know, maybe at the end of the day are going to give you a better taste experience. So we've absolutely seen, you know, Wagyu growing. The number of supermarkets across the country that now carry Wagyu, I think Costco often has it, you know, has increased so much. So our access, you know, is so much higher as well. So yeah, no, definitely. Good question.
Little prickly one on this one. You found that there are communities that are least aware of food trends. Wausau, Wisconsin, topping the list. And so I know we're naturally going to bristle a little, get a little defensive. But what did you make of these least aware food trend cities?
Yeah, and you know, to just kind of preface it, I did not work on this particular research report. So, you know, if we do anger anybody, don't come after me. You know, I can send you the names of my colleagues who worked on this report. But so one of the things that we're constantly asked is, you know, what are the most trend forward places in the country? And it's whether, you know, we're trying to identify trends and, you know, which cities we should look at, or maybe a client wants to, you know, do an immersion tour and go, you know, see the trends on the ground in the city. And so we came up with a few metrics where we could kind of figure out, you know, what those most trend forward cities were. One of them was, you know, how many different types of cuisines do you have to taste in that city to get to 90% of the dining environment? So in a city like Miami, which actually is the high score in this metric, you actually have to taste something like 23, 24 different cuisines before you've kind of exhausted, you know, the Miami restaurant scene. And so if you look on the other side of that, we looked at, you know, which city, and it's major cities, so you had to have somewhat of a larger population. You know, you had to kind of get through the least number of different, you know, types of cuisines. And it was Wausau, Wisconsin actually came out as number one.
Mm-hmm. Rockford, Illinois in the mix as well, I should add. But, you know, when they hear that about a city that's called out in such a way, not with it perhaps on the latest in food, what does that tell people? What is the opportunity?
You know, I mean, on the one hand, I think, you know, yeah, we bristle at it immediately, you know, if we live there. But one, I think, you know, what that means today is very different from what it would have meant, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago. You still have to try 11 different cuisines to kind of get through all of the dining environment in Wausau, which is a good amount, you know, for a smaller town or city. You know, that's still a good number of, you know, cuisines you have to get through. The other thing too is we just have so much more access to foods and cuisines and different flavors, no matter where we are today. So, you know, we can order things online. You know, we don't necessarily stay in our towns. We can travel wherever we are. So, you know, wherever you are, even if it's, you know, a town that maybe doesn't have a huge dining scene with lots of different options, there's still so many opportunities to try, you know, a lot of different interesting novel foods and flavors out there.
Talking about restaurant trends with a trendologist, Mike Costio from the market research firm Data Essential. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Mike, what have been the influence of food trucks in, you know, in affecting the trajectory of dining trends?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I'm actually about to work on a food truck project just because, you know, when I started at the company, which was a decade ago, you know, food trucks were everywhere. You know, there were definitely cities in the United States that had great food truck scenes. But, you know, we finally started to see that grow in other cities throughout the country. And then we kind of saw it plateau and even decline a little bit. And then the pandemic actually brought them back. You know, we saw a number of operators that were looking for operations that allowed them to serve food outside. We saw, you know, chefs who maybe, you know, didn't have the jobs that they used to have were looking for, you know, maybe that startup opportunity, and they, you know, launched a food truck. So I actually think, you know, post-COVID, we're going to see kind of a flourishing of new food trucks across the country.
And their mobility, too, moving to places where people can be, not a fixed site restaurant, that must be an advantage.
Absolutely, definitely. Particularly when you consider, you know, the food scene in the country now, we love our, you know, food festivals and food centric festivals. And, you know, so many businesses want to have really cool food experiences, you know, tied to their business. So, you know, if you run a mall now, you run a supermarket now, if you run a healthcare center now, you know, you can call in one of those food trucks to be in the parking lot. That gives you a little bit of that food cachet.
Let's quick get in a call here. Tony in Sturgeon Bay. Tony, hi.
Good morning. I'm new to the biz. I'm 67 and never waited tables in my life, but this is a heck of a roller coaster. Our chef owner, I'm a waiter up in Sturgeon Bay, probably the best Italian restaurant in the county. And our chef owner just put mussels, sauteed Nova Scotia fresh mussels, on the menu as an appetizer, and they just sold out immediately. And I think people are looking for some different taste options. And what better place than an Italian restaurant to get those great flavors?
Tony, thank you. Mussels flying there, Mike. What do you make of that?
Absolutely. I mean, mussels, one super cost-effective option to put on the menu, so really key right now. The other thing, too, is, you know, seafood in general scores really well with consumers on a number of metrics. They think it's, you know, a pretty premium option, and it's a pretty healthy option. So, you know, those are two kind of important things when you're deciding what to eat. So I think it makes a lot of sense.
Mike, thank you for joining us.
Ah, thank you. It was great being on.
Mike Castillo is a trendologist and associate director at Data Essential in Chicago. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.